Glad to be here. Many of you probably know I went to college with Matthew Merritt, and so I think last time I told you that he, back in those days, went by Matty. so you guys can, you know, bring that up again in case you forgot from last time. So I'm very excited to be able to share some things with you. You can go, yep, okay. So we're going to learn some Hebrew today. We're going to learn a lot of things. We're going to learn some things that are on this table that you might not be able to see very well. So we have a presentation so you can see it on the screen. And then afterward, if you want to come and take a look at some of these things, that's fine too. Now, I've done this a lot. I've done it in a lot of churches, but I've also done a lot of homeschool groups of kids. So if I treat you like a bunch of kids and, you know, ask you to raise your hand and all that kind of stuff, well, this is a Christian school as well anyway, so you guys are used to that. So we'll have some fun here this morning. We'll try and learn some things, and hopefully we'll be able to remember them and apply them to our lives, and hopefully, I don't know, as far as technology is concerned, anything that can go wrong will, right? And, you know, the sound guy, nobody knows that he exists until something goes wrong. And then that's when they notice you, right? I'm a sound guy for our Bible study, so I know these things. We've had a crazy morning. I had a waffle batter thing explode on me and all over my coat. And, you know, everything is okay, but needless to say, like Pastor mentioned, Satan's trying to throw a wrench in the works, I think. But anyway, so we're very excited to be here. And we're excited to talk about the Passover to you. The first thing I'm going to talk about is the Hebrew word for Passover. Okay, and the Hebrew word for Passover is Pesach. Can everybody say Pesach? Pesach. Okay, and you got to get the ch. You got to, you know, like, if somebody in front of you doesn't feel something on the back of their head, you're not doing it right. No, I'm kidding. So, but that's the word, the Hebrew word for Passover, Pesach. Now, Pesach comes from a word. It's not originally a Hebrew word. It comes from another word, I think it's Aramaic, that means to skip. Literally, it means to skip. And so God says, when I see the blood upon your door, I'm going to skip over your house. I'm going to pass over you. And the destroyer will not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt, he says. So that's Pesach, that's Passover. Let's see here. Okay. Now, there's some things that need to be done before we can have Passover. There's some preliminary things that need to be done first. And in the book of Mark, I believe it is, as well as maybe some other of the gospel accounts, when Jesus tells his disciples that we're going to have Passover, he says that there's something that needs to be done first. He says you're going to find a room, an upper room, go and make ready for the Passover. There's some things that need to be done first. And this is what it's going to be done first before we have the Passover, and it's called Bedekat Chametz. Can everybody say Bedekat Chametz? Bedekat Chametz. Okay. I also teach Hebrew at our headquarters, and so I'm used to trying to get people to say Hebrew words that sound kind of funny. Okay, so Bedekat Chametz. Chametz means leaven. Can anybody in here tell me what leaven is? What is leaven? Yeast, okay? So a fermenting agent, something to cause the bread to rise, such as yeast, okay? Leaven, yeast. So chametz is leaven. Bedekat means removal. We got to get rid of all the leaven, not only at the Passover table, but in the whole house. So back in Bible times, guess what they would do? They would take any leavening agent that they had, and they would take it out into the street, and they would set it on fire, and they would burn it. Nowadays, they'll go to their neighbor's house. Can you borrow my leaven for about 7 days? You know, and they'll give it to them, and they'll borrow it, and then, you know, when the Feast of Unleavened Bread is over, those 7 days, they'll come back. Can I have my leaven back now? Thanks. You know, and they'll do that. But in Bible times, they had to search for all the leaven in all of the house and make sure there was no leaven there. That would have been part of what Jesus told his disciples to do when he said, make ready the Passover in the upper room. Now, in 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, the believer is commanded to remove all spiritual leaven from their lives before partaking of the Lord's Supper. All of this correlates exactly, and it's not by accident. And we're going to find out so many things in the Passover that if you've never been to a Passover Seder before or seen the Passover presented, Jesus in the Passover, Christ in the Passover, who in here has seen something like that done before? Okay, a few of you, okay. And so there's a lot of things that are just amazing that come out about the Passover. And I can read that pretty well. If I take my glasses off, ooh, I'm feeling my age there. Okay. So some important items. There's some stuff up here that you can't really see from where you're at, but we're going to show you on the screen. And we're going to learn some words, okay, along with this. The first one is a Haggadah. Can everybody say Haggadah? Okay, Haggadah comes from a Hebrew word that means showing forth. And so the Haggadah, this book here, it's kind of the order of service. It shows us how the Passover night is to proceed and different aspects of it, things that are to be read, prayers that are to be prayed, things that are to be done, is all contained within this Passover Haggadah. Now, this is a Haggadah that Jewish Awareness Ministries has produced, and it shows Jesus, it shows the Messiah, the truth of the Messiah through the Passover, and these are for sale on our website, jewishawareness.org, but this is a Haggadah. Then we have, let's see if this is going to work, okay, we have matzah. Can everybody say matzah? Okay, matzah is the unleavened bread. Okay, the unleavened bread. Normally, on any given Shabbat or Sabbath, meaning Saturday, any given Shabbat meal or Shabbat service, they will have bread. Their bread, though, normally, like challah, you guys ever hear of challah bread? Okay, it's not unleavened. It's got leaven in it. On Shabbat, or on Passover, the bread is unleavened. And normally on Shabbat, on Sabbath, there's usually two pieces of bread. Passover is very different, very special. There is three pieces of bread, and that's very important. Three specific pieces of matzah that are used. And this is the unleavened bread. Then we have an afikomen bag. Can everybody say afikomen? Okay, this is my afikomen bag here today. Okay, and there's some very special things about this bag. Now, we've learned a couple of Hebrew words so far. Like we've learned Haggadah, we've learned Chametz, we've learned, let's see, Pesach, okay? And then we learn Afikomen. Does Afikomen sound like it's a Hebrew word, possibly? No, that's because it's not. It is not a Hebrew word. The Afikomen is going to be a mystery that you're going to find out within this service, okay? But it's a very amazing truth of the Passover. And by the way, let me say this now, in case I forget. On Moses' Passover, okay, the Passover of Moses, the Passover in Exodus chapter 12 and 13, there was three things that were part of that Passover. Three things. There was the lamb, right? There was the bitter herbs, which we'll get to in a minute. That's kind of my favorite part. And that'll be Matt's favorite part a little bit later, okay? So, the lamb, the bitter herbs, and the unleavened bread, right? Three things. Here we got a whole bunch more things. There are some things that between the Exodus, between the very first Passover, and between Jesus' Passover Last Supper meal, there are some things that were added to the Passover table. Some things that were in practice by the time of Jesus. And we see those in the New Testament. There's some things that have been added since the time of Jesus, and we'll talk about that as well. And I'm going to try and designate and show you what is Moses' Passover, what is Jesus' Passover, and what's done in modern Passovers all over this world in Jewish homes. Then we have a shank bone. This is something that I made out of clay a long time ago, because then I didn't have to worry about keeping a shank bone of a lamb, you know, and all of that. But this is to remember the lamb. Pretty much everything on the Passover table, everything here is supposed to help you, for the most part, everything, is supposed to help you remember something. Remember something. Passover, and it says in the Bible, in Exodus, that this is going to be a memorial. Okay? there's those within quote-unquote Christendom that would say that, well, the body and the blood of Jesus is, you know, this is transformed, and the Eucharist, the Catholics call it, and all of that, and all this hocus-pocus stuff where it actually becomes the body and blood of Jesus. It is not the body and blood of Jesus. It is a memorial. It was always a memorial. It is a symbol. Do this in remembrance of me. It was always a memorial ever since the very first Passover in Exodus. And it's going to continue to be that. And when the Last Supper Passover meal comes along, Jesus continues that thought. Okay, so the shank bone is to help us remember the lamb. Then we have some parsley. The parsley in Hebrew is called karpus. Can everybody say karpus? Okay, and this is supposed to help you remember new life. When they were in Egypt, okay, when they were slaves in Egypt, for all of those years that the children of Israel were in bondage to Pharaoh and taskmasters, did they have it good? No, not at all. They were beaten. They were killed. They were tortured. They had hard labor that they had to serve with. And if they didn't do what was said, the hammer came down. And many times they were beaten. Many times they were killed. It was not a good thing. But guess what? After they crossed the Red Sea, Pharaoh and his armies are drowned in the Red Sea behind them. Guess what they have? All of a sudden, for the first time, they have new life. Now, there's lots of symbolism in the book of Exodus, lots of symbolism with the Passover. Okay, just got to make sure I look at my watch or the clock. All right, so there's lots of symbolism there. And this symbolizes new life. What do we have in Christ once we come out of the bondage of sin? New life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, right? And so, anyway, then we have salt water. Salt water symbolizes the tears that were shed in Egypt. You ever have a tear and you cry and it comes down and you taste it? Maybe you're just crying your eyes out and you can it's salty, is it not? Okay, because we have sodium in our bodies and so on. When we sweat or when we cry, the saltiness comes out. And so the salt waters to help them remember the tears that they cried when they were in Egypt, to help them remember. Then we have a roasted egg. Now this is a plastic egg because it travels better and I can throw it at people and surprise them. But this is to symbolize as well new life. And it's supposed to be roasted. I can't really roast this without melting it. But it's supposed to help you symbolize and remember the tabernacle and the temple sacrifices, as well as the lamb, because the lamb was roasted with fire. And so, because it's an egg, and the shape being a circle, more or less, to help you remember new life, as well as the sacrifices that were made. Then the bitter herbs. Okay, here we have horseradish. It's to help you symbolize and remember the bitterness of slavery in Egypt, and how bitter it was. Then we have charoset. Can everybody say charoset? Charoset. It's an apple, honey, cinnamon mixture. Lots of times it has nuts in it, but I don't use nuts because there's certain nuts that I can't eat, certain nuts that my son can't eat. And then, you know, we have a homeschool group of 40 kids. Odds are one of them is going to be allergic to nuts, so we don't have nuts in it. But this is to help you remember the mortar that was made, the bricks that the children of Israel had to make in order to do the monuments and buildings for Pharaoh in Egypt. And it's supposed to help you remember that substance and that stuff that was made. Then we have four cups. Now here, and I'm going to go ahead and do this now for time's sake. I have a cup. My victim, I mean volunteer, has a cup. And then we have another cup over there that I'll talk about in a minute. But normally in the Passover meal, what would be done is I wouldn't have four cups, I would have one cup. But that cup throughout the service would be filled four times. Okay, and this is Welch's grape juice in case there's any indication, any question there. So it's the fruit of the vine. And the only requirement for that juice, the only requirement is that it is to be red to symbolize the blood of the lamb. This was not here in Moses' Passover, but guess what? It certainly was there on the Passover table by the time of Jesus. Okay, after the four cups, we have... Oh, okay, yeah, let me explain these four cups. The reason that there's four or four fillings of the same cup, is to symbolize the four promises in Exodus chapter number 6. There's four things that God said he would do for the children of Israel. The first one, I will bring you out. We call that the cup of sanctification, the first cup. The second cup, I will rid you out of their bondage, the cup of deliverance, or praise as it's sometimes called. Cup number 3, which is the cup of redemption, I will redeem you, is the promise that goes along with that. And then the fourth one, I will take you to me for a people, the cup of acceptance. So each time this cup is filled, it's to symbolize one of those different fourfold promises of God. Then we have a cup for Elijah. Who's Elijah? Well, Elijah's a prophet, right? And he was to herald the coming of the Messiah. In Isaiah chapter number 40, it talks about one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. In one of the last verses of our Old Testament, in Malachi, it says, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord, before I come and smite the earth with a curse. And so, in Jesus' day, his disciples are like, hey, Jesus, isn't Elijah supposed to come first? And Jesus is like, yes, but he's come already. And they've done unto him whatever they wanted to do, you know, whatsoever they will. And he spoke to them of John the Baptist. John the Baptist fulfilled the ministry of Elijah. John the Baptist was to come in the spirit and power of Elijah, right? But the Jewish people, they're still waiting for the Messiah to come. They don't believe it was Jesus. They don't know it was Jesus. And so they're still waiting for Elijah to come, and they're hoping that he'll come and join the Passover service, that he'll come right through that door and say, hey, everybody, the Messiah's here. And they're hoping it so much that they have a cup for him. That cup is filled and left untouched. Then we have two candles and candle holders. That's normally done with a Sabbath meal to start off the evening. We have a pillow for the leader. Okay? And I'm the leader, so I have a pillow. Back in Moses' day in Exodus, they didn't have a lazy boy. They didn't have a recliner. And when they were in slavery, they were usually, if they ever did sit down, you know, because somebody would say, hey! Go build some bricks. Go build me a monument. Go build a sphinx and put the nose on right this time. But they never got to do what? They never got to recline. So the pillow for the leader is to symbolize, guess what? You're free. We have freedom in Christ that we never had before. Unbelievable symbolism there. And everything that I'm showing you here is what's done in a Jewish home, okay? Then we have a chair for Elijah, because he can't come and not have a place to sit down. This chair you can buy for like $2,000 online. And so they spend $2,000 for an empty chair. The Messiah already came. Then we have a kittel for the leader. It's kind of like a garment that's worn. I don't have one here, but I have a tzitzit or a tallit, which is a prayer shawl. This was my dad's. It's like 50, 60 years old. And then also, that goes along with that, I don't have a slide for it. Okay. And then I have the head covering. Now, I'm going to ask somebody that I voluntold to come up here. Matthew, you want to come on up? Okay, and he's going to sit front and center so you can see the look on his face when he does some of this stuff. Okay, and what we're going to do, just so you know, how many cups are there? Four. Okay, for time's sake, and what I do when I normally do this presentation, is we don't drink from every single cup. Usually the little kids, you know, they'll have like a little cup with a sip in it of juice, just a taste of it. And what we'll do is we'll wait till we get to the third cup, because I believe that's the most important. When we get to the third cup, we'll drink the juice. Other than that, we'll just kind of pretend. Now, I have a head covering for our friend Matt here, just to make it look authentic to you. Okay, so we'll go ahead and put this back here. It's normally to cover the bald spot, but he doesn't have one. But, you know, I don't have one big enough to cover mine, so. Okay, so normally the candles would be lit to start off the evening. And we would say, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav lachad lik ner shel yom tov. And we would light those candles. And that basically means, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with thy commandments and commanded us to kindle the festival lights. And then we have the reading of Exodus chapter 12. Now, for time's sake, I'm not going to read through this whole thing. I'm just going to bring out a couple of specifics. God told Moses that every home in Goshen there, the Jewish homes in the land of Egypt, were to take every man a lamb. And that lamb was to be taken on the 10th day of the month. Okay? On the 10th day of the month. There's some things about the lamb that are special. It's to be without blemish. It's to be without spot. It's to be a male of the first year. And it's to be taken from the flocks. And they were to keep it until what day? They would take it on the 10th, keep it until the 14th day. Okay? And so, they would have this lamb that was normally in the flocks, out in the field. And they would take it where? Into their house. For 4 days, they would keep it. It would become like a pet. Okay? I had a Bible college teacher who said that maybe they gave it a name. Maybe they called it Sweater. Okay? And then this lamb, after 4 days, what would they have to do? He said, you will kill it. The whole congregation of Israel will kill it in the evening of the 14th day of the month of Nisan. Then they will take its blood, and they will strike it on the side posts and doorposts of their house. This last plague, this 10th plague that God was going to bring upon the nation of Egypt in order to set his people free, was going to be the worst one of all, the slaying of the firstborn. And I have to move on here for time's sake. But he says, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. I believe that we are going to be doing this in heaven. Because Jesus said in the Last Supper Passover meal, he says that there's another cup to drink that I'm not going to drink with you till I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And God says this is going to be something forever. And here it's symbolizing the lamb of Exodus. But then it will symbolize the Lamb of God. Okay? All right, the first cup, the cup of sanctification. We would take this cup and say, behold this cup. And this first cup, the cup of sanctification, it would set apart this evening as being something miraculous, something to enjoy, something to remember. And we would go ahead and drink that first cup when we pray the prayer. Then we would have the washing of hands. Now, did you wash your hands this morning? Okay, well, we're going to do it again. And this hand washing may not get every germ, every piece of grime and dirt and whatever else that's on our friend Matthew's hands off. This is not a literal cleansing in order to get his hands clean, but it's a ritual cleansing. You can go ahead and put your hands right over that bowl there, okay? I'm just going to pour a little bit there, okay? And then you can go ahead and dry them off here with this towel. Okay. So, normally, in the Passover, we wash the hands twice. This is the first of two hand washings. This first one, we didn't pray the prayer. The second one, we will. Okay, I got to get my clicker here. Then after that, we have the dipping of the parsley. What's the parsley symbolize? Can somebody tell me what's the parsley symbolize? New life. And what does the salt water symbolize? The tears. Well, guess what we're going to do? We're going to take the parsley, and we're going to dip it into the salt water. Go ahead. Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and say this prayer, and then Matthew is going to eat the parsley dipped in the salt water and tell us how good it tastes, okay? Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruits of the earth. And he can go ahead and partake of that. Is it good? Okay, so this is to help you remember. All of these things are to bring to your remembrance things that God has done. All right, that's okay. Normally they have like a little hair clip thing that goes on there. All right, remember the bag, the Afikoman bag? What we have here is those three pieces of matzah. The three pieces of matzah are kept in the Afikoman bag. I will then take out not the top piece, not the bottom piece, but the middle piece of matzah and break it. The larger half of the two will go back in between the top and bottom pieces. And I'll explain a little bit later what this is all about, in case you haven't start to begin to understand it already. Then the smaller piece is taken and wrapped in a linen cloth or napkin. This is falling off. I'll just leave it like that, okay? And hidden. And then after the meal, which we're not going to have now, I guess we're going to have a meal after the service. Normally when I do the presentation, I kind of skip the meal, okay? We do the before and after with the elements of Passover. But you guys ever seen a cooking show where they're like making a cake, and then they put it in the oven, and then they open the bottom oven and say, we've already had this done from a previous, you know? So you don't have to wait. It's already been done, and this has already been wrapped up and hidden. Okay, don't look for it now, but there's a treat for somebody maybe later, okay? All right, moving right along, there's normally four questions that are read about the night, about what happened in Passover. Normally when I do this presentation, I don't do this for time's sake, but I mention it that it's there. And then we have a narrative where it's described to the people, and normally, boy, do you know how long a Passover Seder normally lasts? Okay, this is like half an hour here this morning. Normally, it's like 6 to 8 hours. Okay? I mean, it can begin like just after lunchtime, and people don't leave until midnight because the Passover is just so long and drawn out. I mean, it's fun, but what you're getting here is a very, very abridged version, okay? We talk about what happened in Egypt. Then we talk about the 10 plagues. Now, can you guys read this okay? Can you see this screen okay? We're going to try and read this together, okay? In Hebrew, I'm going to take my finger and dip it into the juice, and for each of the 10 plagues, which we're going to read in Hebrew, I'll read it first and then you repeat after me, I will dip my finger and I make a drop on the plate, okay, for each of the 10 plagues. The first one is Dam. You can say Dam, okay, which means blood. Then after that, we have Tzvardeya, which is frogs. Then after that, we have Arov, no, Kenim, I can't read, Kenim, okay, which is vermin. Then we have Arov, which is the flies, and then Dever, which is pestilence. Then we have Shechin, which is boils. That sounds like fun, huh? And then we have Barad, which is hail, and this is supposed to help you remember all of these different plagues. And then we have Arba, which is locusts. And then we have Choshech. That's a fun one to say. That means darkness. And then we have the Makat Bacharot, which is the slaying of the firstborn. I won't make you guys say that one. Okay? So that is the 10 plagues. Then when we go through the time of the 10 plagues, I have to not stand in front of this thing when I do this. Normally Psalm 113 and 114 is read. Then we have the second cup. Now, like I said before, we're not going to drink the second cup. We're going to drink the third cup. But normally there would be a cup for each of these times. Also, since we already washed your hand once, for time's sake, we're not going to do it again. But this is the hand washing that the Pharisees derided Jesus about. He says, why do you permit your disciples to eat with unwashed hands? And what did Jesus say? That doesn't matter. What goes into a man doesn't defile him, but what comes out of him is what defiles him, adultery, murder, fornication, all of those things. But this is exactly what they were upset about Jesus not doing, the prayer with the hand washing. Then we have a blessing over the matzah, and we say, blessed art you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringest forth bread from the earth. Now, then we have the bitter herbs and the blessing over the bitter herbs. What we're going to do is we're going to take a piece of matzah. Okay, you can go ahead and take a little bit there. Okay, and you can take your spoon and take a little bit of the bitter herbs, as much as you would like. Okay, and a little bit of the apple cinnamon mixture. Yep, go ahead. And I'm going to do this as well, just so you guys know I'm not poisoning him. Although the only horseradish that they had at the store was the extra hot variety. Okay, and this is to symbolize what? Well, the bitterness of slavery and the mortar that they had to make. Okay? And then we would say the blessing over the bitter herbs. And for time's sake, I'm going to forego that, and we'll go ahead and partake. Okay? Very good. Okay. And so, help you remember those things that God did. And then normally we'd have the meal. Now, we're going to have a snack later, okay? Remember that little thing that was hid? I want you guys to look underneath your pews. See if you see something wrapped up on the floor. Ooh, we have a winner. Okay, sir. Are you a fan of chocolate? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. This is for you. Okay, thank you. Good job. All right. Here's a little boy. He found the same thing, and he got a $5 bill. This is done all over the world in Jewish homes. But what does it mean? Well, afikomen is English, but it's not from Hebrew. It's from, that's the Hebrew transliteration, but it's from Greek. It's from a Greek word, afikomenos, which means he has come. When we talk about the Trinity, we usually say it in a very specific order because that's how it's given to us in Scripture. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We take the middle piece of matzah out. What did Jesus say? This is my body which is broken for you. We take the middle piece of matzah out. We break it. Okay, because Jesus was broken for us. He died for us. He didn't cease to be God when he died. We have the other piece that's still within the Trinity, okay, so to speak. Then, the smaller half, is wrapped in a linen cloth and buried. And whoever finds it gets a prize. How can you have any better of an object lesson of the gospel? And this is done in Jewish homes all over the world, and they have no idea what they're doing. But this is part of the Passover. Okay, hastening on. The third cup. Are you ready to wash down that horseradish there? Okay. So we would say, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth fruit from the earth, who createth the fruit of the vine. And we'll go ahead and drink that now, okay? Okay. Now, why did I say the third cup, the cup of redemption, is the one that we would do? It's the cup after the meal. In the Last Supper Passover, Jesus took the cup and the bread, just like we did. He broke it. After the meal, he gave it to them. He said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup after the meal. Which cup out of the four is the one that comes after the meal? The third cup, the cup of redemption. Let all of this tie in together in your mind. In Leviticus, it says, it's the blood that maketh the atonement for the soul. Without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. In Isaiah 53, it talked about the Messiah and how he would be killed and buried and that he would rise again. And I'm running through this quickly here for time's sake. And this is the passage that I mentioned where Jesus did all of those things. And he said, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which makes all of that I read in Sunday school, Jeremiah 31. My blood makes all of that possible. Personal relationship with God, forgiveness of sins, and God's law written in your heart. Okay. Then we have Elijah's cup. Now, our brother back there with the red tie, what's your name, sir? Mr. Tomlinson? Can you go check and see if Elijah is back there waiting for us? This is something that's normally done in Jewish homes. You can go ahead and look outside the door there. And just see if Elijah the prophet is waiting there. Is he there, brother? Is he waiting for us? He's not there? Don't see him. Okay. Thank you, sir. You can come on in. They really do that. Every single Passover, they'll have somebody check and see if Elijah is there. They're waiting for him to herald the coming of the Messiah. And then I have a couple of different things that talk about how we would know that it was the Messiah, that he'd be born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, that he'd be the mighty God. And then I'm just wrapping it up here. Jesus said, in Matthew 26, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That's the fourth cup. Okay, when the nation of Israel accepts him as their Messiah, and then he will be their God and they will be his people. And then when Matthew 26, they had sung a hymn, They went out to the Mount of Olives. I'm going to wrap it up here, but just know that in 1 Corinthians it says that even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And his blood in the New Testament is what makes all of this possible. And so I hope you were a little bit more burdened for Jewish people and had a little bit more of an idea of what goes on in a Jewish home during Passover time. Thank you, Matthew, for being so willing. Okay, and at this time I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to your pastor, and we can go ahead and be seated.